We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
This is Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky from St. Paul's Lutheran Church in New Athens, Illinois, and Trinity Lutheran Church in Darmstadt, Illinois. And with me I have
Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran Church in St. Louis.
Yep, the newbie there at Ascension Lutheran Church. How are things going, Matt?
Going great. Going wonderful.
And this, by the way, is Wrestling with the Basics.
Yes, see, we always forget to add that in.
People might just be stumbling across us and have no idea what they're actually listening to. But yes, this is Wrestling with the Basics, where we put the fun in the fundamentals.
Oh, very good. Hey, should we mention the Twitter feed?
Well, we're going to mention that, but
okay,
we're saving that for a little.
That's actually something
special we're going to do as soon as we get done with our Revelation stuff about the Twitter feed.
Oh, exciting.
But I also have something else special to share with you. So Lynn and I, we're going to the National Quilt exhibit at the St. Louis University Art Museum.
Ooh.
And so we're looking at one of the quilts, and apparently this quilt is based upon Wabi Sabi. Have you ever heard of Wabi Sabi?
Isn't it that spicy sauce when you go to the Chinese restaurant?
You would think that. Yeah. That's not Wabi Sabi.
Wasabi.
It's wasabi,
okay.
Yeah. And maybe it has something to do with it. But apparently in Japan, there's an art form called Wabi Sabi that focuses upon things that are imperfect, things that are just kind of passing. They really have no long value or anything. But things like that, things that are just, imperfect, flawed. And there's an whole art formed around doing things like that.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And so I'm thinking, we're the wasabi of radio.
No. they had a Wrestling with the Basics quilt on display, is what you're saying.
Well, but don't you think we're kind of the wabi-sabi of radio?
The wabi-sabi of radio.
That's right. Imperfect, flawed, not lasting or permanent in any way. So anyway, I just took a minute. I saw that. Oh, yeah, well, that's Wrestling with the Basics.
That's perfect.
We're wabi-sabi.
Yeah, if we don't have a quilt made, we need to get one going.
That's right.
That's great.
We need the Wrestling with the Basics.
Well, where were these from?
Oh, they're from all over the country.
I know, but the Wabi Sabi, that's
from Japan. Apparently, that's
when
a
we go to
Japan.
Our pictures are probably everywhere.
Everywhere,
these posters,
that's right.
Of Wrestling with the Basics.
Wabi Sabi. Yeah.
We're celebrities over there. But KFUO is worldwide, after all.
That's
so
true.
I know there are listeners from all sorts.
There probably are.
Well,
we had a gal that has communicated with us from Japan,
how
and now I understand
cool.
why. She was like, "You want to see a good example of Wabi Sabi? Listen to Wrestling with Basics." Yeah. Yeah, that's my Japanese accent, which is not very good at all, is it? Part of being wabi-sabi.
Wabi-sabi.
See, if it was a really good Japanese accent, then we couldn't do it. Enough of this. Oh, wait, hold on. We got to do it. Ah, where's that? There it is.
All right, now. There's no time for foolishness.
Okay.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Oh, thank you for turning up the sound effects. So, yeah, we got to finish up this Revelation thing, this Laodicea, this city that is going to be spit out of the mouth of Jesus.
We need a sound effect for that.
Oh, we do need it. Oh, well, sorry, don't have one.
Make our own.
There we go. All right.
It's all part of the wabi sabi.
That's right. But we shouldn't be laughing because this is really, really sad. But I really appreciated what you shared with us last week because this was a whole new way of thinking that we hear God about talking about cold and hot, and we automatically assume, well, cold's bad and hot's good. But as you pointed out, no, both of them are good. Both of them are good. It just depends on what the situation and the circumstances are. Cold water is a good thing to drink. If you offer it to one of the disciples, Jesus says, yeah, that's a good thing. You're giving it to me. And yet, on the other hand, he also calls upon us to be hot in the sense of being fervent in the spirit. But these people are neither. they are neither. So where do you want to pick it up, Matt?
Well, let's pick up with verse 20. So okay. Last week we got through that lukewarmness. This week we're going to pick up with verse 20, where Jesus talks about standing at the door and knocking. And we're going to discuss what that's all about.
And again, the point in all of this isn't that we need to be more enthusiastic and excited, but we do need to repent. That's what he says to them. Be zealous and repent. Now, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me.
Okay, so standing and knocking. In spite of this lukewarmness and the apathy of the Laodiceans, they're ignoring God's word, and we talked about last week his word of law and gospel. The good news here in these closing verses of this letter is that Jesus still knocks. He still comes to them. He hasn't given up on them. He hasn't abandoned them. The Lord still seeks them. And that's what the Lord does. Now, that's why Jesus comes to earth, right? To seek and to save the lost, he says. And here he is seeking those people, these Christians, even though they might be apathetic Christians, in Laodicea. The one connection that I think is pretty close here is in the Gospels, in the Gospel of Luke in particular, Luke chapter 12, beginning with what verse there? Is it verse 35, I believe, in Luke chapter 12?
Yes, so if you want to read the large print version you have given me here.
Correct.
Do you want me to read that?
Please.
Stay dressed for action. Keep your lamps burning and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. So it's exactly like what he's saying.
Yeah, neat connection.
Want me to keep reading? Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But I know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would have not left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect.
Yeah, so what a close connection here, and it's just so neat to see this connection with what's being said in Revelation to what's being said in the Gospels, how it all ties together in Scripture.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It's like it's planned.
Like
it's
it was like, the same author.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Not just mere men, but the Holy Spirit is at work here in the Scriptures. God inspiring. And here we have it. Knocking, and those who are awake, the master finds awake. What does he do? Verse 37, he invites them to recline a table with him.
Yes,
And even to come and
he dresses himself and serves them,
Isn't that incredible? And as we close out this letter, we'll see some connections there too. But here it is, Jesus coming, knocking, and then, of course, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to hear that knocking and to open to him in response, that waiting for him.
And you know what really, what tickles me about this, Matt, is he's already said what he really should do is he should just spit them out of his mouth.
That's what they deserve.
That's what they deserve. This is what he ought to do, but no, I'm going to come and knock on the door.
Yeah.
Even if you deserve to be spit out, even if that was really true, this is what you should have, which ironically is probably what should be done to all of us, he still is going to come and seek us. That's what he wants
to
do.
He still seeks. Yeah. He still knocks. Yeah. And what grace. Yeah. What love. You bet. So let's finish this up then with verses 21 and 22. We're finishing the seventh letter here with these verses as we wrap up our study on the book of Revelation. So go ahead, verses 21 and 22.
And you know what? This is just a really great way to wrap it up because the phrase we've heard in every single letter. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
Yeah, so here it ends with a promise to those in Laodicea, a promise to us today, and ends with this gospel promise to the one who conquers. And again, as you pointed out, John, that's what we've been talking about and touching upon in each one of these letters, is that we conquer through Christ. Christ has conquered for us. Christ has won the victory through his death, through his coming back to life, that victory over death won for us. We're connected to him. And so we have this beautiful promise of sitting on his throne. That's incredible.
And apparently
in these times, they had these double thrones, kind of a two-seater.
Oh, is that
where
right?
Where you literally, the same seat would have double seats, a double throne.
Well, why would you have that now, man?
I'm not so sure, okay. But this is what right. This is what the commentary tells.
Okay, all right.
But that's a neat.
Do you believe
picture.
Everything you read in the commentaries? Maybe some guy just made that up.
What was?
Oh yeah, they used to have thrones that for double thrones.
Yeah, the double seater.
Okay. We'll believe that. I'm sorry, but because your point is
this idea of being so closely connected to Christ, reigning with Him, and as you pointed out. What do we deserve? We deserve to be spit out of his mouth. We deserve hell and death. That's the wages of our sin. But yet, through the one who conquers, through Christ, this is what we get. We get to reign with him. What a blessed promise. And a neat tie-in, I think, to Luke 12, which you read for us earlier, where we recline at table with the master.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, that same type of language.
Yep. You know what? You want to run with Luke 12 a little more? Because
this is something
that I just learned this last week.
Please.
It's amazing. I'm thinking that maybe the Holy Spirit's at work here.
I'm
despite
thinking you're right.
The wabi-sabi. But don't you see? That's what we should all recognize. We are wabi-sabi. Because then God can come in, as we heard last week, and clothe us and give us salve for our eyes and all these good things. But if you're not wabi-sabi, there's not much God can do for you, is there?
That's right. And we're wabi-sabi, whether we realize it or not, but to recognize that we are.
That's the beginning. Then God can come in and start doing stuff. So now you brought up Luke 12 and that business about he's going to come in and recline. Do you know what lesson we just had a couple weeks ago on Sunday morning? It was a lesson about Jesus Christ. And he said, you know, if you've got a servant and the servant's been working all day long, you know, tending sheep or working in the fields, and he comes in at night, so do you say, recline and I'll serve you?
No, you say, no, you're my servant. Get to work. Set the table for me. What?
And Jesus goes on to say, well, therefore, even when you've done everything that's been commanded you, the best you can say about yourself, do you remember, Matt, is?
I've done what my job is, basically.
Yeah. I'm an unworthy servant.
I'm an unworthy servant. I'm just a servant.
I'm just doing what my job is. And see, there you go, because I'm thinking about Laodicea, and they were thinking, oh, look at all the good things we've done, and look at all the blessings we have, because, see, we're really, really good people, and God is just showering us with all these good things because of all the good things we've been doing, going to church, saying our prayers and everything. And, of course, this was the attitude of the disciples, too, right? Remember Peter saying, Lord, have we not left everything to follow you? Well, naturally then, Lord, you're going to let us sit on your right and on the throne.
I know, isn't that a great
same image here?
Yeah.
Oh, of course. But why are we going to sit on the throne? Because we are so good and we've given up so much for you, see? And Jesus then just kind of stomps Peter down, the apostles down, the Laodiceans down, Matt and John down and says, you know, really, if you've done everything I've commanded you, you're nothing more than unworthy servants. That's all you are.
That's it. And yet he allows us to sit on thrones. But again, not because the reason that you know, Peter's thinking, but because of his grace, because he's conquered for us.
Because he's not like us. If we've got a servant, we expect that servant to serve us no matter what, right? My wife works hard as a principal all day long, but I still figure she should make my supper at night, right? This is the expectations we have, people. And then you've got this beautiful text from Luke chapter 12 and also alluded to here in Revelation where Christ comes. That's not how it works for me. No, I'm not expecting you to serve me, but I'm going to come in. And I'm going to dress myself, and I'm going to serve you. And again, he's going to serve the very people who he should just spit out of his mouth.
Incredible.
The unworthy servants. Yeah, it is. It's just such a remarkable gospel message, and it just brings you such joy and such happiness. Well, thank you, Matt. You didn't know that was something that I had just been studying, did you? That just happened.
No, that's perfect. But any insight from the gospels, boy, you're on top of it. You just pounce on it.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, when you've been preaching as long as you have, I guess.
That's thanks, Matt. Thank you for young blood.
You've preached on just about every text there is in the Bible.
Well, you know, it's interesting because that text also has a really, really, let me throw this out to you because, you know, again, we're all wabi-sabi and God gives his gifts where he wants to give them. So the gift he gave me was, I was reading this terrible law passage, because it is, because God basically says, you think you're a hot shot because you've done all this stuff? You're nothing. You're but unworthy servants, yeah. You know. And yet it underlies the beautiful gospel of the passage you shared with us, that God is totally different. No, he doesn't expect his servants just to serve him all the time. No, he comes to serve them. But the passage right before that is where the disciples say, increase our faith. And Jesus says, well, you know, if you had faith as little as a grain of mustard seed, you'd be able to say to this mulberry bush, be cast into the sea, and it would. What is that all about? Mm-hmm. Do you have any insights about that passage, as long as we're just kind of going wherever the Spirit leads us here?
Yeah, and from what I understand, yeah, this mulberry bush should be cast not just into the sea, but I think as you dig deeper in that text, that it even would grow and then flourish in the sea, that it would continue to grow.
Really?
Yeah. So we heard a sermon. I that's not from my own research.
Okay.
Pastor Wayne Palmer preached that, and that was one of his insights. I thought that was interesting. So, you know, as impossible as it would be to move a tree and kind of throw it in the sea, even more impossible it is for that tree then to take root and to grow and to flourish under the water. But yet that's what Jesus says in that text.
And so see now I'm glad you shared that, because I see that fitting in, because my own interpretation is when the disciples said increase our faith, which at first sounds like a good thing, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, wouldn't we all say, Lord, increase our faith? But apparently there was still something wrong, something defective there, because you don't see Jesus saying, oh, that's such a good insight by you guys. I'm glad you're finally getting the point. This is what you need to do. But instead, he has this really strange thing about the mulberry bush. And so my conclusion was that the disciples were still thinking that God had to do something within them to make them stronger, mm-hmm. or more courageous, mm-hmm. and whatever. And Jesus is basically saying, well, you know, even if you had a little faith, you'd be amazed at the things you could do.
Yeah.
So the problem isn't that you need to be more courageous, that you need to be stronger. If anything, as we learned in Laodicea, maybe what you need is to be more disciplined and weaker and have more struggles and more trials. And then you would understand that faith is not about how strong you are and how much you have, like they do in Laodicea, but it's about how powerful and strong God is. That's what
it's about.
So the
object of our faith.
The classic passage is, when we're weak, he is strong. And so that fits then. It fits that God says, yeah, you'd be surprised at the miracles you could work if you'd quit trusting in yourselves. And you just let me do my godly thing, even growing a tree and a bush in the middle of some place where there should be no growth at all.
You bet. So, bit of doing the impossible.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so thank you for that, Matt.
Yeah, great study of Revelation.
Well, now, wait a second. We're not done here, because I'm going to put you on the spot. All right.
So,
maybe we better just summarize what we know, because it's always best to start with what we know.
Okay.
We know the problem here is that these people think they are rich, just like the apostles thought they are rich. And they thought they were rich because of all the stuff they'd done. They'd given up everything for the Lord. And no, they were not rich because of that at all. They were rich because of the one who has conquered in their place. But this passage about knocking on the door has always troubled me, Matt. So is this saying that, you got to do something. You got to at least open the door for Jesus. And I know we're getting on thin ice here, because I'm not sure where this discussion is going to lead either. But have you wrestled with that?
Well, yeah. So I think, you know, the starting point, of course, is, again, that the one doing the seeking, here in this case at least, is Jesus himself. So Jesus is seeking us out, you know, just as he did in his earthly ministry to seek and to save the lost. And again, it's only by the power of the Holy Spirit then that we are able to listen and have those ears to listen. And I think verse 22 in Revelation, to get back to this letter, gives us some insight into that too. I mean, how this letter ends right after that knocking illustration is, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And, you know, really that God-given ear of faith, you know, again, to go back to, is it Romans? Correct me if I'm wrong. Faith comes by hearing.
Yes, yeah.
And to hear this word by the power of the Holy Spirit then, to actually hear, to believe, to listen, is what Jesus ends this letter with a commendation for. And I think that relates to his knocking and that answering.
You know what, Matt? See, there again, when you got these questions, if you just go to the Word of God, you'll find the answer. Maybe not right away. Because, like I said, I told my church, I'm still wrestling about that casting the mulberry bush. I thank you now for the insight that you've shared with me, again, from yet another source. But there it is right there, yeah. So the key thing is you've got to be able to hear, right? Can't open the door if you can't hear.
Yeah.
But where does that hearing come from? It comes from the Spirit. It comes from the Spirit of God. He's the one that enables us to hear. And I really do want to second what you just said earlier, the fact that it's Jesus who's doing the knocking. We ain't going out looking for him. He's come to us. And I, I'm sorry. I hope I'm not boring people by being repetitive. But he's coming to the very people who are unworthy servants.
Yeah.
He's coming to the very people who are not hot nor cold. They are lukewarm. These are the people he's coming to. So, my God, if he's coming to people like that, surely he will come to the wabi-sabi of Matt and John and the silly, foolish people who listen to Wrestling with Basics, because, honestly, you almost have to be foolish to listen to this show, don't you?
No comment.
Well, you know, I think the thing is, if you weren't foolish when you started listening to it, you're sure
you got a little more silly
after you got done. Yeah, yeah. So there was one other thing I wanted to say too, Matt. Isn't it neat that we've had this conquer word repeated over and over again in these letters? And it's like in the last letter, he says, "Now let me help you understand what it means to conquer, because I am the one who has also conquered," as if to say, "There is no conquering apart from me."
Yeah.
But in me, as you said, you can be sitting with me up on those two-seater thrones. I don't know about that.
Aren't there two-seater outhouses? Weren't there? Or, I don't know.
Well, there are, but Matt, somehow we're getting into the whole wabi-sabi again with that comment.
Venturing into that wabi-sabi area. We can't help it.
All right. Well, here's what I was planning to do, but we're not. We're not going to get it done. And that's okay, because I think
what about the Twitter thing? Well, is that what you're talking about?
That's what I was talking
about.
Good,
good.
Our Twitter account, if you want to follow us, is GospelWWB. So you just go on www.twitter.com and you search for GospelWWB. Actually, if you search for Gospel, we'll be on the list of those things that have gospel in them, but we want GospelWWB. So a dear man by the name of Hans, and I say a dear man, I don't know. Hans is what his name was, and he had Twittered me this comment: "Where is God's love when his children are killed or have to suffer all their life from disasters, terrible crimes, etc.?" That was his question. And originally my intent was today to share with you some of the answers I gave to him and some of the responses that Hans gave back to me, which were very, very well thought out responses, some good questions and good concerns. So here's what I think we're going to do. Can we pick this up next week, Matt?
Please, because my guess is Hans isn't the only one who's asking that question.
Well, it's interesting. I think he labels himself on Twitter as one who just wants to know more about religion. And I guess that is a question that people want to know, if there is a God of love and mercy. If this God is, as we described here, then why is there so much suffering and trials? Although, ironically, we kind of answered that a God who simply showers with blessings is just a God who spoils his children, and that may not be the best way to handle it. But here's my thought. If anyone's listening to our show today, get on Twitter. Check out this conversation, because you can follow the conversation on Twitter. Either search for Hans or search for Gospel WWB. And if you've got any thoughts or comments or further questions, send them to us. Send them to us. Because I didn't think of Twitter as being a mechanism where people could inquire of us, but apparently you can.
It's a two-way street.
Yeah,
good.
So we would love to hear your concerns. And
we need material. We just finished Revelation, so...
That's right.
Help us
out.
We're
really not concerned about helping people.
No,
it's just
we need filler. No, of course not. No, this is great.
Yeah.
And,
where's that thing? There it is. Okay.
So it's interactive now. We've gone interactive.
Yes, we have.
And what a great question to wrestle with.
And we'll wrestle with that next week. And again, blessings to you on your new ministry there at Ascension, Matt.
Thanks, John. I appreciate it.